Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to this Friday Eve edition of the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I am elated to be here for another glorious broadcast evening. Mr. Reed to my left, Mr. Tross to my right, and we are offering today the Hamilton Corner. Now, I have to start today's show off. We're going to get to the Word of God, but I wasn't quite sure what to do with this. But if I was listening correctly, and I asked Jason, I even asked my wife too. I said, we had a caller on the show yesterday. I think it was Peter. It was a truck driver. And did I hear him call me beautiful?
Yeah.
Do you hear how prepubescent my voice sounds right now? I didn't know exactly quite how to what to say. I said, wait a minute, maybe I misheard that. I said, let me confer for a second opinion. I said, Jason, did he call me beautiful? Jason said, yeah, he called you beautiful. I do, you know, I thank the Lord for my beautiful melanated skin, but I don't know how many, I don't want too many truckers calling up here calling me beautiful, you know. But I think I know what he was saying. Thank you so much. I think it was Peter yesterday for your calling, for your listening. I'm just kidding around. I think he meant that our program is beautiful. That's what he meant, Jason? Jason's not saying anything over there. But thank you so much for tuning in to the program. What a wonderful day it is to be alive. Listen, if you have breath in your lungs, God has blessed you with another day. It is because he has purpose for you today. He has purpose for you. The Lord doesn't offer his oxygen, your lung capacity, your inhaling and exhaling. He doesn't grant you that for naught. In fact, he offers that to you for its express purposes. And one of those purposes, if you don't yet know him, if you don't yet know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, to where he has not become just this generic theistic concept, but when he becomes your God, if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. And I would submit to you that your meeting this day is because the Lord loves you so much that he wants to invite you into his family. So listen, when the Lord is drawing you, pulling you, tugging at your hearts, don't harden your hearts, because today is the day of salvation. And to that end, we will begin the program in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12. Man, I love the Word of God. This is the Apostle Peter who walked with our Lord Jesus Christ, who in a moment of, I would say, emotional investment, said, oh, Lord, I won't let these guards take you. Takes out his sword and shoink, slices an ear off. Jesus turns to Peter and says, man, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Pop over to John's gospel and be reminded, no man takes my life, I lay it down. Oh, I love the Lord. Then, Peter insisted continually that he would not abandon the Lord. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, before the rooster crows, before the cock crows three times tonight, you will have denied me. Just as Jesus said it, it happened. But isn't it amazing that Jesus restored Peter when he met him in resurrected form, redeeming Peter, letting him know his sins were forgiven. And Peter ended up laying his life down to follow the Lord. And in Peter's epistle, one of the wonderful jewels that the Lord has preserved for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter is writing about what it means to be a new generation in Jesus Christ. So let me read it, then we'll hop on into it. Verse 9 in 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. King James right there says a peculiar people, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, as exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh or the lust of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Oh, praise be to God. Right off the bat in verse 9, Peter says, but you are a chosen genos. The Greek word there is genos, which literally says you are a chosen, an excerpted, an identified, a highlighted kindred or offspring, tribe or family. You are a chosen generation. When the apostle Peter is saying this, he's conveying a thought that is continual throughout the scripture, that when we transition from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, the Lord makes from two men, for example, as Peter says, as Paul says in his epistle, referring to Jews and Gentiles, one new man, an entire new lineage, an entire new race, if you will, of people. And this is not race in the common sense, in the natural understanding, is literally discussing having been born again from above. That's why the Apostle Paul could say there's neither Jew nor Gentile, referring to ethnic distinctions, slave nor free, referring to socioeconomic distinctions, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. This is why I say routinely and consistently, the issues that we're facing in our society about divisions based on skin color and socioeconomic status and all of these other types of things, that the gospel has the answer if we would, one, believe it, and then apply it. This is one of the reasons why I said there's really no such thing as a black church or a white church. That's why you won't hear Abraham talk about the black church or white church. It's one church. It's called God's church. And the Bible says he will build his church, which is why I don't really even understand these efforts, these intentional emphases pointing to various skin colors being evidence of God's blessings. Well, what if you have people in your church, they're all the same skin color and they're all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? What if you end up here in a country like China, where last time I checked, you don't really have much skin color diversity in that country? But is God not building his church in China? What I'm saying, and this is not to give license to anybody's pre-existent penchant for skin color based partiality or ethnocentric partiality. What I am talking about is that once we have stepped into the family of God, we have been born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have been given entree to becoming a chosen genos. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature, literally a new creation, as the Apostle John recorded in his gospel, that you are born again from above. That you literally are transitioned from the bloodline of death and decay that we've inherited through Adam to the ascendant, transcendent bloodline of Jesus Christ. Which is why the gospel, John records it, that we must be born again by blood and by the Spirit. As in Leviticus, it says that the life of a creature is in its blood. We are moved out of the lineage of the first Adam into the lineage of a second Adam. Now, do we have the willingness and the ability to believe what God said and live that way? We are a chosen generation. Then it says a royal priesthood. This is drawing on, Peter right now is drawing on, for example, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, when the Bible says that the curtain or the veil in the temple that divides the Holy of Holies from the holy place, it was rent from top to bottom, where in the previous order of the priesthood, that the people of God had to use an intermediary to go to God on their behalf. Well, we're not only made into a chosen generation, we're made into a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood, or to say it differently, a generation of kings and priests, all in Christ. Man, I'm telling you, if you want to talk about your identity based on your skin color, You go ahead, but I want to let you know something, that you are downgrading yourself if you are a believer, because if you are new in Christ, everything else is a downgrade from there. Everything else is a downgrade from there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, a peculiar people. And I want to spend some time on this just for a moment, because one of the things that I'm finding to become more and more prevalent in modern times is that people who profess to be believers, they are more than willing to abandon their peculiarity. They are more than willing to abandon their peculiarity in an effort to make themselves more acceptable, more palatable, more pleasing to the world. Where Peter says, by the Spirit of God, that the Lord has identified us, marked us out as a peculiar people for an express purpose. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who made you peculiar. Then it goes on to explain in great detail. Living as sojourners and exiles, abstaining from the lust of the flesh. The way we conduct ourselves and we abstain from the lust of the flesh is already going to make you stand out like a sore thumb. It's already going to make you stand out like you're wearing neon green in a nighttime rave session. We are going to stand out. Jesus said, listen, the world hated me, so what makes you think they're going to love you? But we see ourselves doing things and making adjustments. We see people in churches downgrading the gathering of the worship, the gathering of the saints to accommodate the presence of unbelievers. That's not what the worship gathering of the saints is supposed to be about. It doesn't mean that unbelievers cannot attend, but we certainly shouldn't be adjusting everything that we are and everything that we are about to accommodate the presence of the unregenerate. Because the next thing you know, you'll find, let's get rid of that cross because it's so offensive. Let's not sing songs about the blood and about sin and repentance because, that's just too messy. When I'm saying, what is life without the blood of Jesus Christ? What is life without repentance from being dead in trespasses and sin? There are too many of us that we want to abandon our peculiarity and become and start to wear spiritual camouflage to where we just blend in with the crowd. See, we're not one of those churches that preach divisive messages. What kind of divisive messages? Like repent? Like fornication is sin? Like adultery is sin? Those kind of divisive messages? And the thing that amazes me, Jesus said himself, I came not to bring peace but a sword. What was he dividing? Flesh from the spirit? Wickedness from righteousness? Those of us who are dead in trespasses and sin, and those who have been adopted into the beloved, into the newness of life? Come on, man. What we're really saying, if we don't want to be honest about it, but what we're really saying honestly and by our actions, not by our verbiage, what we're really saying is that we have a priority that supersedes Jesus Christ. And it's called for his church. We're more concerned, I think I have a story in my stack about that. We're more concerned about unity than we are about theological accuracy. Not my words. That's a statement by Pastor Andy Stanley. I'm going to get into it in the second segment. Maybe it'll be the second story I cover, where he's arguing in a conference for pastors that we need to be more focused on unity than about theological accuracy. And my question to Pastor Stanley would be, if we're not going to be theologically accurate, what are we unifying around? I mean, come on, man. I can go to the Saints game and have common, natural, fleshly unity. You ever been to a Saints game? It's a whole lot of unity there, but it ain't around Christ. I don't want our churches. I don't want my church to be unified around everything but Jesus. What's the purpose of Paul writing to Timothy and others to contend for the faith against Gnostics? What was the purpose of the Apostle Paul encouraging the Galatian believers not to allow the Judaizers to sweep them up in their foolishness? Come on, man. We have these people that want to bend and contort themselves to become palatable to the world. Newsflash, we're peculiar. Get used to it. Put the t-shirt on. Get comfortable. Settle in that thing. God has marked us out to be set apart. The Lord has called us to be set apart. But we want to say, nah, we don't want to be apart. We want to be unified. I'm going to tell you like Jesus said it himself. It's time that we have to make a decision. We have to be either hot or cold. Because lukewarm, it ain't going to get it. Not going to get it. Lukewarm gets us rejected. And the only people we're fooling in these scenarios is ourselves. Because the Lord certainly isn't fooled. And we're not even fooling the world. If we as believers are accepted by the world, we probably should do some self-examination because we might not look the way we should look.
California in the Counseling Room. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The California legislature introduced a bill banning counseling to help adults who are struggling with unwanted same-sex attractions. It already banned such counseling to minors. Now LGBT legislators are trying to categorize this professional counseling under so-called fraudulent schemes. This ignores the very fact of those who have successfully left homosexuality behind them. This bill would also make it unlawful for any person to sell books, counseling services, or anything else that directs people to trust in Jesus Christ to help them overcome gender confusion. People have the right to seek the counsel of their choice, but this bill substitutes the government for personal choice. The implications are staggering and the result is harmful. If this bill becomes law, you will not be able to choose the counseling of your choice in California. The state will choose it for you. Learn more at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
You know, I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio. Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
This is potentially a game changer. Israel says that for the first time ever, Iran directly targeted its military positions, firing 20 missiles from bases inside Syria.
Israel claims none of those missiles made it into their territory. 4 were intercepted by the Iron Dome surface-to-air missile system they've been strengthening to fend off such an attack. Israel retaliated, firing missiles at dozens of Iranian military targets inside Syria. An animation from the Israeli military shows what it claims was an attack on a missile launcher. Nighttime images released by the Syrian government allegedly show Syrian air defenses at work. Today, the defense minister here said Israel will not allow Iran to use Syria as a frontline base.
While Israel has said it doesn't want to see an escalation, the defense minister here said that they would retaliate if necessary, adding, if we get rain, they'll get a flood.
Well, welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, where you know, we're just talking all types of precipitation at the moment. Abraham Hamilton III here. That was a little audio clip of a news report concerning the latest, military incursions between Israel and Iran. And immediately on the exact day that President Trump announced the U.S.'s withdrawal from the Iran deal, which, by the way, I don't think I've discussed this. The Iran deal was never even a treaty. I talked about how Bob Corker, the senator, completely inverted the Senate rules to allow President, former President Obama, to go forward with the Iran deal. But it was reported even in 2015 that this, by the State Department, for example, confirmed that the Iranians never even signed it. Never even signed it. So we have former President Obama, you know, chalking over pallets of cash for a deal that wasn't even signed. And the question I had then, and I still have, where did that money come from? Where did that money come from? It wasn't allocated through the congressional budget. So where did the $1.5 billion in cash and the $150 billion in total come from? I don't know the answer to that. It wasn't allocated by Congress. Inquiring minds would like to know. But leaving that on the table for the moment, that the day President Trump announced the U.S.'s withdrawal from the Iran deal, Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu issued a security alert in northern Israel and in the Golan Heights for additional Israeli Defense Forces reservists to be called up for duty, for the people who lived in northern Israel to find bomb shelters, because they detected unusual Iranian activity in Syria. And if you're unfamiliar with the geography in the Middle East, Syria is the country immediately north. They're immediately northern to Israel. Lebanon is in that area, but somewhat at an angular position, where Syria is immediately north to Israel. And so that same day, that same night, there were reports from Jerusalem about the unusual activity, going into the bomb shelters in those areas, because they expected something to happen. Well, something did happen. Using Syria as the staging ground, there were 20 rockets were shot, aimed at Israel, specifically targeting military sites in Israel from Syria. 20 of them. And of that 20, only 4 of them came remotely close to Israel before petering out. The other 16 rockets all landed far short of their targets. And the 4 rockets that did make it toward Israel were intercepted by Israel's missile defense program called the Iron Dome. They have been working on that for some time. They have been working on it with the aid of the U.S. We have exchanged technology in the missile defense systems. We've shared that technology. And the Israeli Iron Dome missile defense system intercepted those other 4 rockets. So Israel suffered no casualties. None of their sites were hit, but Israel retaliated. Boy, did they retaliate in the largest direct attack into Syria and strike at Iran in decades was conducted this time last night. It was considered early morning, Thursday morning in Israel, but it was about this time while we were on the program. In fact, Jeff and I were talking about it as we ended the program, because I like to get information before I just start willingly talking about things. And the strike was rather aggressive. According to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, 23 Syrians were killed. I mean, not Syrians, 23 Iranians were killed. And the attack launched by the Iranians from Syria was conducted by the Quds Force of the Iran Revolutionary Guard, both of them who are listed by Americans as having, as being aggressive supporters of terrorism worldwide. So you have the top shelf special forces unit from Iran attempting to use Syria as a staging ground to launch offensives into Israel. And Israel has long said that they absolutely refuse to allow Syria to become a staging ground for Iranian military aggression. And Israel Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman said in response and following the attack, he said that the strikes by Israel into the Syrian territory were specifically aimed at Iranian military sites, that they destroyed, quote, nearly all of Iran's military installations in Syria. Just like that. nearly all of Iran's military installations in Syria. Then he continued saying, quote, if there is rain on our side, there will be a flood on their side. And he ended this quote by saying, I hope we have finished with this round and that everybody understood. Oh, snap. If Avigdor Lieberman would have been in my neighborhood saying stuff like that, the crowd would have went, ooh. It's like that. It's like that. Nearly all of their capabilities and their sites in Syria were hit. And I'm looking for a particular point. And this was reported in the New York Times. Where is it? Yes, here it is. The military targets that were hit by Israel, the Iranian military targets that were hit were described as Iranian intelligence sites, a logistics headquarters belonging to the Quds Force of the Revolutionary Guards, military compounds, and munitions storage warehouses of the Quds Force at Damascus International Airport, intelligence systems associated with those forces, and military posts and munitions in the buffer zone between the Syrian nation and the Golan Heights. All of these sites were hit at one time just last night. And as Avigdor Lieberman said, if it's raining on Israel's side, it's going to flood on your side. I hope everybody got the memo. I hope. Are we good now? Are we good? Do we understand what we, you know, you throw a rock, I'm coming with a boulder. In other words, is what they're saying. So this all happened. And the thing that I find so interesting in all of this is that, so I thought Iran wanted peace. You know, like, what are we popping firecrackers off for if the objective was peace? Is this not evidence that confirms Israel's concern about Iran? Does this not confirm that if something as simple as this deal, withdrawing from it, can result in you shooting missiles and shooting rockets into Israel and indiscriminately shooting them, does that not confirm Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu's wariness with the Iranian aggression? You know, and it's the same thing. the punditry class in America, when they were saying things like, oh, well, if President Trump moves the American embassy to Jerusalem, there's going to be all types of chaos in the Middle East. And my response to that was, well, wait a minute. If I'm looking for peace, if Jason and I are having issues, right, that we want resolved, and Jason does something to bolster his future, that's already in effect operating and already occurring, then why would his actions cause me to then become offensive if I want peace in the first place? You know, it just seems to confirm it time and time again that conversations about peace are just used as red herrings to allow enough time and enough space for them to recalibrate so that they can pursue their real objectives, which is, I wonder what it is. Oh, yeah, death to America and death to Israel. So that is the latest happenings as these things unfold. I will do my best to keep you apprised of them. There are some reports, and Jeff was talking to me about this, from Bashar Assad attempting to distance himself from the Iranian Quds Force, saying that, oh, we had no idea that the Iranians were going to pop off their firecrackers towards Israel. I don't know. I didn't know they were going to do that. And the rest of the world is saying, yeah, right. Really? So all of the scurrying that the Israelis detected that caused them to prepare themselves with reservists and going to the bomb shelters and all of these things, you had no clue. Like, I don't know. I don't know who did it. I don't know. Me don't know. I'm going to give you a passive one for this, but come on, Bashar. Foolishness. All right. Now we're going to talk about Andy Stanley some more. I alluded to it. I didn't plan on talking about him in the first segment. But Andy Stanley... who is a pastor, who is the pastor, the senior pastor of North Point Community Church at the conference is called the Orange Conference, where you have pastors and church leaders from all over the world, where, man, I got to tell you, I really have little patience for people that do jujitsu with the word of God. I really do. I have little patience for that. Andy Stanley, using John 17, referring to the passage where Jesus prays for his disciples to be one, Andy Stanley says Jesus prayed for, quote, for oneness, that we'd be on the same page, end quote. Let me give you some more quotes before I go in some more. He goes on to say, we will prioritize our oneness over our politics. We will continue to allow the kingdom of the will we continue to allow the kingdom of the world to divide the kingdom of God that is in this world because of politics. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling so far? Y'all okay? Y'all okay? Well, there's more. He goes on to conclude that the emphasis, the oneness in the faith, was, quote, more important than being theologically correct. Now, I'm going to try to give Andy Stanley some grace, but when you combine that with some of the other things he said, it's kind of hard to do so. Because if you want to communicate the sentiment that within Christianity we should keep the primary things primary and the secondary things secondary. And the things that are primary, you know, like the Trinity, you know, like there's no such thing as salvation without repentance. You know, these types of things, Jesus is pre-existence. His eternal pre-existence, these things are not optional. They're not optional. Now, if you want to start talking about music styles and all that kind of stuff, those are secondary things. But I just find it to be very, at a minimum, overbroad, to use a legal term in court. Objection, overbroad. Overbroad to attempt to make a distinction between primary matters and secondary matters by saying that unity is more important than theological accuracy. And to that, I'll ask the question again. If we're not going to be theologically accurate, what are we unifying around? And I say this, I shared this maybe, I think you were with me, Jason, maybe a year or two ago. 2 years ago, I attempted to warn the believers where I was at that time to say, listen, that there is going to be a great temptation coming to the body of Christ where people will be invited to join causes, to join groups, and join people for the sake of human unity at the expense of the gospel. We must never forget, human unity is a powerful force, that it can be unity or evil. Shall we refer to Genesis chapter 11? That was great human unity in Babel. And it was a unity, a unification in rebellion. They said, let us build a tower into the heavens for the sake of our own names being made great and so that we would not be dispersed all over the earth, which was in direct rebellion against what the Lord just mentioned in chapter 9, verse 1, chapter 9, verse 7, when the Lord explicitly repeated the same command he gave to Adam and Eve to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That means spread out and subdue it. Kibosh, kibosh the earth. In Hebrew is the word there. And the Tower of Babel membership, led on by Nimrod, said, no, we don't want to do that. Let us gather together. The Bible even says that they didn't even start off in Shinar in Babylon. They came to Shinar saying, this is a good spot to execute our rebellion. Again, as Jeff said, gangs have unity. There's unity in the mob. Drug cartels have great unity. Pedophile rings are often unified. Unity ain't it, Bubba. The goal is to know him and be known by him. And isn't it interesting that the Bible says, let us do all to preserve what? The unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. That bond of peace is a bond that is forged as a result of having those of us who are gathered together into the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Now, as we gather, primary things must become primary, must remain primary. Secondary things must remain secondary. Andy Stanley went on to say, oh, even in the Jerusalem Council, they made the decision not to require ethnic commonality. No, man. At the Jerusalem Council, the issue was whether or not people would produce salvation based on works. It was a gospel issue that the Jerusalem Council unified together to say, no, we won't require people to adhere to non-biblical standards for salvation.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
Dualism and the Moral Revolution. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. In her new book, Love Thy Body, Christian apologist and scholar Nancy Piercy explains how the moral revolution taking place with regard to abortion, transgenderism, and sexual immorality is undergirded by a dualistic worldview where the mind is preeminent while the body's design is irrelevant. The truth about mind and body is found in God's Word, which says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our identity should not be based on subjective feelings, but on how God made us, and we should value and use our bodies in accordance with His design. Hear an interview with Nancy Piercy at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. There is some troubling news to share from Capitol Hill. At least 15 Republican lawmakers have signed onto a plan that would allow Democrats to push a no-strings amnesty plan for roughly 3 million so-called Dreamers. All they need are 25 Republicans, and they will get a vote on amnesty. Among those backing the plan, Florida Congressman Carlos Curbelo. He says Congress should be driven by courage, not by cowardice. The congressman might do well to remember the reason Republicans have majorities in the House and the Senate. They promised the American people they would secure our borders and defend our sovereignty. But it appears once again that Republicans are wavering on their promises, campaigning one way, governing another, and that is simply unacceptable. Congressman Curbelo talks about cowardice, but only a coward would double-cross Republican voters and stab them in the back. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment, so if you want to be a part of the program, you are welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Anything we've discussed today is fair game. You are welcome to join in the conversation on the air. You know, I pulled up the exact reference, and I alluded to it, but I'm going to read exactly what he said. Andy Stanley referred to the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 and said that the early church decided that the Gentile converts did not need to strictly observe Jewish laws to become Christians. Yeah, Andy, that's because that's central to the gospel. The Jewish Christians didn't have to observe Jewish laws to be Christians either. Yeah. Now, there's nothing preventing them from doing it if they chose to, but it wasn't salvific. It did not produce regeneration. And that was the point. It wasn't a unity based on non-theological accuracy. And this is not complex. This is not, you know, deep. This is basic. But this is just another example of, you know, people with platforms and wanting to be accepted by, you know, different groups of people that are willing to, you know, we'll cut corners on the Word of God to make ourselves more acceptable to a broader swath of people, which is dangerous. Which is why the Bible says fear man is a snare. You know, once you start doing that, there's no And I mean, and I was just talking to the guys during the break. There was great unity on Jim Jones's compound. Come on, man. It's the word of God. It is theological accuracy that enables us not to be duped into being unified in deception, but being unified in truth. Greatly disappointed in this. You know, and it's this kind of stuff, man. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but if you're in a place where you have people preaching that you can be saved without repenting, you probably need to find somewhere else to go. I'm just going to tell you straight up. Because it's, don't we recognize what's happening? The signs of the times, wars, rumors of wars, all these things that are going on. We don't have time to be playing around with God's word, man. We don't. You know, eternity hangs in their balance. Eternity. You know, we need some people that fear God more than they love the affection and the applause of men. When you love somebody enough to tell them the truth. We'll get to one more, and we're going to go to the phone lines. Again, if you want to be a part of the program, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again to call is 888-589-8840. Some breaking but the date has been set for the summit between Kim Jong-un and President Trump that they will meet on June 12th in Singapore. This is big news. Big news. The date has been set, June 12th, in Singapore. Kim Jong-un on one end, President Donald Trump on the other end, and they will talk about the denuclearization, and President Trump has said it. My objective is pretty plain and simple, a denuclearized North Korea. I like it. A denuclearized North Korea is better for the U.S., and it's better for the world, quite frankly. And it's better for the North Koreans. It's better for the North Korean people. So that's big, big news. And, of course, we will be watching that to keep you updated with the latest turns and twists and conversations in that particular episode. And then lastly, I want to get to, before we get to the callers, is have you guys seen the unemployment numbers? Goodness. Mr. Tross, if you would, play clip number 2 for me, please.
Labor Department reported today the economy created more jobs than it lost in April for the 91st consecutive month. That is a record. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger is here with more. Jill, we had a net gain of 164,000 jobs last month, but the big news is the unemployment rates.
Yeah, it edged down to 3.9%. That's the lowest since December of 2000, which is amazing. Now, there's actually another unemployment rate. It's a broader one, and it may be more reflective of the labor market because it adds dissatisfied workers or maybe folks who wish they had a full-time job, but they only have a part-time job. And this broader rate, it peaked at over 17%, which is crazy, way back in 2009. And it's now fallen to a 17-year low of 7.8%.
From 17% to near 8. So more people on the payroll. How are wages doing, though, now?
Well, this is an area that really does continue to stymie economists. Wages were up 2.6% from a year ago.
That 3.9 number is still pretty striking.
Very, it's a good number.
Yeah.
Pretty striking. And, of course, this is a trend that's continuing from the Obama era with the 91 months consistently. But, man, this is groundbreaking. And this is, you know, one of those things that, you know, the talking snake media trying to put it under the rug because they do all that they can to avoid reporting anything that could be positive under the Trump administration. And of course, I've said before, I don't think the president creates jobs in and of himself. But you have to understand that the markets and things have responded to having a pro-business, a pro-free markets, a pro-growth economy, approach to the markets, and people have responded to it. And you add that into the tax cuts and other things like that, where it's a formula for things moving in the right direction. I don't think we're where we need to be just yet, but this is definitely a step in the right direction. And with that, we'll go to the phone lines. First, we'll go to Tennessee, where Shirley is on the line. Shirley, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for taking my call. God bless Jerusalem. I'm just praying for them. And I wanted to share that, you know, the Bible tells us that in the end times people would deceive and be deceived. Mm-hmm. And because they refuse to come to a knowledge of the truth, God will give them over to a reprobate mind so that they would believe a lie instead of the truth. Mm. And that's what these people are doing. And lastly, Tennessee had zero people on May 1st election on the Republican ticket. All those judges and everything went to the Democrats because none of the Republicans, it said on the ticket, qualified. So when I went in, they wanted us to vote for a transit, which I felt like they didn't really need the transit because we already have one and they never used the money correctly anyway. And also, so most people shot it down, but there were zero Republican candidates. So we want to pray for Tennessee that we can get some people who can qualify.
Now that
we don't want to go Democrat in Tennessee.
Wow, you're absolutely right, Shirley. And I'm actually planning to do a show to give us a post-op, if you will, on Tuesday's primary elections. We'll get Rob Chambers in here from American Family Action to go through that. So thank you very much from that update on the ground. I know Dr. Carol Swain is running for mayor in Nashville there. So I know she is on the ballot there, so in Tennessee. But thank you very much, Shirley, for your call and for your comments. We'll go next to Mississippi where Joe is on the line. Joe, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Abraham?
Doing excellent, Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. First, I wanted to say I wish I could rack your head about the old and new covenant, but, you know, that's a huge subject. Mm-hmm. But I did want to comment on what you said about unity in error, and I agree with you on that. And I think that I have an example that many people miss, and I'm not saying that I'm smarter than many people or anything like that. But it's just so common that nobody really thinks about it. If you look at Acts chapter 20, verse 17, first I'd like to say what we are used to, and in the world around us, we see pastors, we see a pastor at a church, or we see a pope over several churches. Every Catholic church, we see that. Well, anyway, in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders, plural, of the church, singular." Mm. Verse 28, we see, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock." Yourselves, plural, flock, singular. And then he says, "Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, singular, which he had purchased with his own blood." And then we look at one more example like that, which is in 1 Peter chapter 5.
Oh, Joe, thank you very much for your call and your comments. I just have to make sure I leave room for some other callers to get in. But I know exactly what you're saying, and that actually is one of the things that led to the entire establishment of the Presbyterian denomination, using the Greek word presbyteros, having a more a multi-layered approach to leadership as opposed to a singularity approach to leadership in God's church. But thank you very much for your call and your comments. And it just, you know, it's true that we have the capacity to be unified in error. But back to the phone lines we go. We'll stay in Mississippi where Michael is on the line. Michael, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. I was just calling. I just got off work and I heard you talking about the repentance. And they're out there. They're claiming that repentance is works, and you can't be saved by works. And I mean, they're out there pushing it. I know one of the first things Jesus said was repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is at hand.
Amen, Michael. You're right. You're right. That was John the Baptist talking about repentance, and repentance is necessary. Salvation is produced by a combination of faith plus repentance. Faith plus repentance. It led to the entire conversation that you have Apostle Paul and James talking about, faith and works. We don't repent in order to earn anything, but a result of having been transformed is that the repentance will demonstrate the evidence of the transformation. It's not in order to win God's favor. There's nothing we can do to win God's favor. But the reality is, as a result of having become beneficiaries of God's favor, there will be evidence in our lifestyle that gives credence to that reality. So thank you very much. We'll go now to north of the border, to Canada. I hope they're all right recovering from Lebronto happening in the northern part of the North American continent. But Johan is calling from Canada. Johan, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Man, I almost want to hang up now, bro. You're going
to insult the injury? Insult the injury? I'm out there for the Christian station, bro. It's speaking the truth in love,
Johan.
That's all. Just speaking the truth
all
in
right.
love.
I hope the Pelicans are having a flight down south.
Ah!
Listen, man, I know you're strapped on time, but, you know, good to hear your voice on the radio doing your thing. But listen, man, it kind of rubs me the wrong way, too, when I hear stuff like taking the word of God like that. And, bro, reading the passage in John 17, you almost have to intentionally take it out of context and, like, take everything else away from that passage to get that message of just that unity is more important than theology. The whole passage is about the God of this unity.
Yes.
You look at this. Jesus is saying, you know, long story short, he says, no, may they be one just as. Okay, what is the just as? If you want to be one, he's comparing it to something, so you hold it up to a standard. The just as is we. He's talking about him and the Father. In the same passage, he says, this is eternal life, to know the Father. You have to know this Father. Next, he says, you know, sanctify them in your truth. All this is about knowing who God is. This theology that's so unimportant is actually the foundation of this unity, clearly in the same passage. So, I mean, this is elementary if anyone reads this for themselves, but like I'm saying, man, like you almost have to go out of your way to kind of isolate that and get something else.
Well said. Well said, Johan. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You have to literally avoid the text of the scripture. You literally have to avoid it to come to the conclusion that the Bible is saying that unity is more important than theological accuracy. It's foolishness, and it has to be called out. And I'm going to tell you why. I do this. And I wanted to be gracious in doing it, but I do this because, as I said earlier, eternity hangs in the balance. And we have people that are influenced by these influential church leaders and things of that nature, and they end up off, way off, and we wonder why. Well, I wonder why things don't look the way that the Bible says they're supposed to look, because we have people embracing, quite frankly, heretical teachings. I mean, that is a heretical teaching to suggest that unity is more important than theological accuracy. I'm just gonna tell you. Back to the phone lines we go to next to Illinois. This will be the last call for today where Joshua, thank you so much for your patience and holding to come on to the program. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner, Joshua.
It's good to be on here. I was actually listening to your show, and you were talking about how these churches are on the issue of repentance. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go ahead and share with a lot of times a lot of churches, they get mixed up in doctrine and tradition. If it ain't biblical, okay, if it cannot be traced back to the Word of God, it's just nonsense.
Yeah.
And a very, very, very amazing guy, he wrote the book Cold Case Christianity, and I always mess up his name.
J. Warner Wallace.
Yes. He uses an analogy that I love so much. It comes from the perspective of a police officer, which he says, if I get a shot fired call over the radio, am I stopping for traffic violations, jaywalkers, speeders, things like that? No. I'm heading to call because a felony is about to be committed. The point that he was making is a lot of times we get wrapped up in things that are not biblical. When the shot fired call has already come over the radio, when Jesus Christ commissioned us to go out and witness in his name and bring souls to Christ. And the only way to do that is to get them to an altar or get them to kneel down and repent of their sin.
Thank you, Joshua. Well said. Have a great day, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.